أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا أبو القاسم محمد وأهل الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome again to the second in the series of Milestones of Azadari in the Indian subcontinent from Awadh to New York. Yesterday, we had a brilliant session by our guest presenter, Syed Ali Nadeem Rizvi, on the historical roots and rituals and practices of Aza in the medieval North India. Today, inshallah, we have with us an outstanding guest speaker, Askari Naqvi, and I will be introducing him in due course, who will talk about the art of Soz Khani and Marsha Khani. And this indeed is part of that unique subcontinental culture which many other cultures may not have. Just as a preamble to this talk, and I will be talking about a continuation of the establishment and the evolution of the Azar rituals in the subcontinent for a few minutes before we invite our guest speaker today. The Azar of Aba Abdillah is indeed an instrument of tabligh, an instrument of being able to convey the great teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And this particular ritual, this particular culture, which emanated, as I said yesterday, right from the house of the enemy, and today has spread all across the world. And each culture has imbibed the passion and the essence of Aza and the social justice message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in its own way. And indeed, no other culture has done as much in terms of the rituals, the pageantry, and so on and so forth, as the subcontinental culture that we have. Indeed, if I dare say this, that the Aza as an instrument of tabligh and the message has been able to give the Shia of the subcontinent a unique identity. We have been blessed through the instrument of Aza to have a culture that is rich in pathos and pageantry, a heritage endowed with deep faith values. And indeed, our Imam Bargahs and our instruments of performing Aza have become those hooks that tie us to the message of Islam in a way that no other community has been blessed with. These Imam Bargahs and this Aza of Aba Abdillah make us the community that we are. And that is why we have this series particularly aimed at the younger generation who have been born and bred here in New York and in London, in Chicago and elsewhere, to connect and to understand the value of this rich heritage that we have. Today, in the brief time that I have, I would like to focus and continue from the theme that was started by Professor Rizvi yesterday in terms of the influence of the on the culture of Muharram rituals and how not only the Muslims, but in the subcontinent, the Hindu kings also provided that patronage to the Azadari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and the deep and the extreme respect for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's a far cry from what we are seeing in India today, but those were the days when the rulers respected the faith and respected truly the sacrifice of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which also assisted in the development of the rich heritage of our culture in the subcontinent as far as Azadari is concerned. The main players, though, in this were, and I do not have time to go into the history, nor am I a student of Indian history per se, nor is this a subject, a topic of history. But the history of Azadari naturally is tied to what was happening in the Indian subcontinent at that time. And mention must be made very briefly of the Bahamani kingdom in the Dakkan from 1434 to 1526, the Adil Shahi dynasty from 1459 to 1510, the Qutub Shahi dynasty from 1495 to about 1686. In fact, it's the Qutub Shahi dynasty that truly brought, you know, this to a level which was, that was never seen before. And inshallah, in the days to come, we will be talking a little bit more about the Azadari in the Deccan area and so on and so forth. And then, of course, we have the Nizam Shahs of Ahmadnagar from 1490 to 1633. And then it was the Awadh, which came on its own after various historical events meant that Deccan, the star of Deccan Azadari waned, and the star of the Awadh Azadari actually rises. And that is a nuance, and those are the parts of history that we need to study. But this is not a presentation on history. It is a presentation on not just the history of Azadari, but it is to be existentially imbibing the spirit of Azad and what happened during those days to inspire us in terms of what Azadari is today. I must also mention, while mentioning the Bahmani kingdom, the Adil Shahi dynasty, the Qutub Shahi, and the Nawabs of Awadh and so on and so forth, that there is also an earlier connection, which is a Sindh connection. The history of Azadari in the subcontinent today, which comprises of the countries of India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, actually dates back to the arrival of the Arabs in the Sindh area. And it was through those conquests, it's through those interactions that the love of Ahlul Bayt was brought along with them. And due to that particular affinity with Sindh, it is said that many of the loyalists of Imam Ali alayhi salam took refuge in Sindh during the Umayyad and the Abbasid rulers, whenever they had been forced or were subjected to persecution because of their love for Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. It is also said, in terms of the Sindh connection, since we are talking about history and how the message of Ahlul Bayt comes to the subcontinent, is that it is said that several scholars indeed went to seek knowledge during the time of Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam at the seminary. And there are names that crop up in history called Faraj Sindhi or Khulad Sindhi or Abnan bin Muhammad Sindhi or Sabah bin Nasr Hindi, for example. So the connections between the subcontinental people and the school of Ahlul Bayt date back to that era. And obviously the evolution of Azadari had its seeds and its roots in that particular connection. But Azadari truly flourished in the subcontinent as a mass movement only after the formation of the Deccan states of, say, Bijapur and Golconda, for example. And indeed, it was the Qutub Shahi who ruled, you know, most parts of the Deccan from 1510 to 1687, were ones who observed Muharram ceremonies with great reverence and were able to popularize Azadari among all sections of society. And indeed, this is the story of the evolution of the Azad of Aba Abdullah in the Indian subcontinent. The Bahmani Sultanate in the Deccan was amongst the first really to, although they were Sunnis and they followed Hanafi beliefs, they did support Shia Muslims at that time. And there were a number of scholars who achieved, Shia scholars who achieved high positions in the government and were able to influence the Bahmani Sultanate to be able to bring that to the fore. This was also followed by the Adil Shahi dynasty, as I mentioned, around 1459 to 1510, and the establishment of perhaps the first Shia government in India. In fact, after the death of Mahmud Gawan and the Bahmani ruler, Sultan Muhammad Ali, which led to the crisis in this Bahmani Sultanate, and that led to the formation of the Adil Shahi dynasty when Yusuf, one of them, declared independence as the Adil Shah in Bijapur. And he was the one who chose Shiism as an official religion of his government, and so on and so forth. But it is the Qutub Shahi dynasty again in the Deccan that was, you know, again established after the disintegration of the Bahmani kingdom. And this is where the Azadari takes, you know, a level, as I said before, as it had never taken before. At the same time, as I say, the star of the Azad in the Deccan, and I'm taking this 30,000 foot view in view of the time that we have, because we'd like to give as much time as we can to our guest speakers. This is just to lay the background. For those of you who are really interested, there is much information available, you know, about these dynasties as to what they did. But truly it was, you know, as the events unfolded and Deccan's, you know, star was waning, it was in 1775, Christian era, that Asfaddaula, the fourth Nawab, shifted. The fourth Nawab of Awadh shifted his court, you know, to Lucknow from Faizabad. And this is where Lucknow then takes on a life of its own, which really becomes so iconic, and hence our title, From Awadh to New York, because truly it is Awadh that brought this to its apex and to its zenith and continues until today to be the spiritual capital of not of Shiism, as well as the main place in terms of Azadari in the subcontinent, and perhaps one of the most beautiful and one of the most touching places in terms of the Azad of Aba Abdillah in the entire planet. That is what Lucknow is. And those of you who have been fortunate enough to visit or actually come from there will bear me out that Lucknow has a special magic when it comes to the Azad of Aba Abdillah. And inshallah, we will see this as we progress in terms of the pageantry of Lucknow, for example, in other places. But mention must also be made that it was not just Lucknow. The entire subcontinent was somehow embraced and engulfed in the Azad of Aba Abdillah. For example, later on, the Talpur Mirs of Sindh, the rulers of Bengal. And so, you know, for example, Sultan Tipu, you know, of Mysore, they all took it to different heights. Punjab also did not lag behind Azadari with the arrival of the Sayyids in the Punjab area. Even in a place like Kathiawar, where my ancestors come from, in the run of Kutch, the members of the Khoja community not only promoted Azadari in their own region, but being the adventurous business people that they were, they took Muharram rituals to far off places like Burma or Myanmar today, Sri Lanka, Oman, Hong Kong, Aden, and of course the east coast of Africa, where it has flourished. And today we have thousands upon thousands of African Shias who say Labbaik Ya Hussein. This is the spread of the Azad of Aba Abdillah. So I just wanted to give a brief background in terms of the development. And as I said, that a picture can speak a thousand words. I just want to share some glimpses, some pictures of the buildings, the structures, and the experiences. So this becomes a visual, experiential experience for all of us as we try and imbibe the Azad of Aba Abdillah. So please Bear with me for just one second as I try and get this technology working for us as I share the screen with you. Thank you for your patience. And this is really a visual experience in terms of the Aza and some demonstration of some of the buildings. And we take this through, you know, a level of history. Dr. Rizvi yesterday so brilliantly was able to share some of the insights in terms of the development of these structures. My task today is just to share a few pictures with you. So you can see this 700-year-old Imam Barga, which is called the Aliganj Imam Barga in South Delhi. It used to be called, the village was also known as Aliganj, but lately it has been changed to, you know, BK Dutt Colony. So this is a 700-year-old Imam Barga. Of course, the Char Minar that we all know in Hyderabad was built in 1591, you know, by during the Qutub Shahi dynasty, you know, that ruled the Golconda region in South India for almost 170 years. Going through history, of course, you know, we all know the Barai Imamwara in Lucknow, which was built by the Nawabs of Awadh, who again ruled from 1722 to 1859. We also have the Nawabs of Murshidabad and Bengal, you know, who we just consider to be amongst the largest of the Imam Bargas in India. We also have the what we call the Imam Bara Wazirun Nisa in Amroha, for example, built in 1802. We have the Hooghly Imam Bara, which was completed in 1861 in Bengal. And when we look at the various Imam Bargas, it gives us a sense of the richness and the heritage that we did. And I'd like to make, you know, a particular a point here as we go through this, that as we moved, and we will cover this in the last session, that as we moved from the Indian subcontinent or wherever, you know, else that we came from as the Shias of the subcontinent, I remember those days when we would pull out carpets from the trunk of our cars, lay them in rented places, and create an Imam Barga for us. Alhamdulillah, as the community develops and the development of the community today, we have beautiful centers being created in New Jersey, in Orlando, in Toronto, and other places. So the buildings actually signify the evolution and the depth of the of a community. And hence it's important to study some of these architectural masterpieces. And hence I was sharing this with you. Of course, the other particular item that was discussed yesterday was this issue of the Taziyas as we know it. And again, the Taziyas actually give us an idea of the spread of Azadari and the way Azadari is observed. For example, this is the famous one in the Chinoti Taziya in Pakistan. We have the Sindhi Taziya again in Pakistan that we see. This is again, you know, dating back, although to the modern times, but we can see that, you know, the history of Azadari in the Sindh area. This is the Hingoja, again, Taziya in Pakistan. There are Ismail Khan, for example, in Pakistan. So you can see that, you know, the spread in Pakistan also. This is, you know, one of the more recent Taziyas in Karachi, in Pakistan. So we're able to see, you know, the, for example, we see this in Multan. Also, what we see again in India is, you know, some of the other Tajias, like this is the one in Madras. And while the depiction are all very different based on the local artistry and the architecture and the design, of course, the theme remains the same. This is a Tajia in Jaipur, for example, that we see another one, you know, in Jaipur. This is a very typical Tajia that you'd see in many places even today, in India and elsewhere, and even in Africa, for example. What is interesting also is that the Hindus also, you know, participated. And you can see this trident spear of the Trishul, which resembles the word aligned some ways, is also, you know, was also part and parcel of the Hindu Tajias. And there were some families, and contrary to sort of the what is going on today in India, that the Marathas, you know, and others were actually able to participate. And this is, you know, one of the Hindu Tajias that we see here. Interestingly, in Gujarat, in Vadodara, for example, for more than 200 years, these Tajias have been installed, you know, at the official residence of the Gaikwad royal family, and is actually, you know, being put out even today, even after all that's happening. So this is, you know, one aspect. So we look at the buildings and gives us some idea of what Azadari was. And existentially, we can imbibe in that spirit. And we hope that if we are able to visit these places, gives us an, you know, even greater connection with the idea of Azad. What is also interesting, in particular, you know, when we talk about the Awadh, and when you look at the interaction of the British with the Muslim community, and the idea of that identity building, that kind of transformed certain things during British India, is also interesting to observe. And I thought I'd share with you some of the paintings that were created during the time of the British. For example, you know, you have the Mohram depiction of British India, where, you know, this is at the moment, I believe, in the Victoria and the Albert Museum. Again, this is a Muharram scene from Patna in India in around 1807. And you can see the pageantry and the various Tajias being carried. And some of these were actually shared by Professor Rizvi yesterday. Murshidabad style, for example, this is another painting that is, you know, at the British Museum, I believe, which was again painted during the time of the British. And you can see now that in some places, while the main dress may be white, but you can see some black sashes, for example. But you can still see the alams and the panjas and the pageantry that is being observed during those days, and it matches until today. Of course, this is a famous painting of Lucknow. Again, this was painted in the late 1700s, and it's in the British Library. This is a very interesting painting in terms of where you can see the elephants with the Tajia in terms of the festival of Muharram. And this is, again, in the British Museum. And, you know, again, another scene of 1800 in Lucknow. And these are available if you search, if you Google Lucknow Azadari, you'd be able to see descriptions in the interest of time. I'm trying to keep this at a very minimum. To just give you a glimpse, a high-level view of the richness of Aza. And before I introduce our speaker today, allow me to just share this short video that will paint a picture of the Aza in Lucknow.
Hey, से शम्मा जले।
माँ बहनों को है पैगाम मेरा।
Thank you very much for your patience, and this is just a very brief glimpse of the Aza as it is conducted in Lucknow today. With that said, and having given that brief introduction and a continuation of our theme in terms of the evolution of Aza, and inshallah we'll be talking in more detail about this, it's my great pleasure to introduce our guest presenter today. His name is Askari Naqvi. He is a lawyer by profession, and he is also a performing artist as well as an entrepreneur. We have heard him in the past, and we've been listening to him in this series of majalises, which happened right after this program on the Ahl Bayt channel. So those of you who have heard him know his mastery in terms of source and in terms of the elucidation of the poetry in the way. He's a trained vocalist under the tutelage of Pandit Amit Mukherjee. And Askari Bhai is perhaps the only artist of his kind to introduce some of these art forms of Muharram, especially source Khani, from its strictly religious setting to a much wider audience. And this truly is something that needs to be imbibed. Anis, for example, is not only a shayar of the Shias. Anis is an international poet in terms of the ethos and the pathos that he actually exudes. Anis, Dabir, many others, Josh Malayabadi, Najam Afandi, amongst others, are all those poets and others that, you know, I'm be remiss if I did not mention all of them, but in the interest of time, that they have internationalized the Aza. And this truly is something that Askari Bhai has also been doing in terms of bringing this to a wider audience. Sort of not training or performing, I'm told, and maybe he can share a recipe or two with us in this Lucknowi recipe that he can be found at the Lucknowi home cooked food restaurant he runs in Lucknow called the Nemat Khana. So if you do visit Lucknow, then make sure you visit the Nemat Khana. This is not a plug, it is something that you imbibe of the culture. So without further ado, I'd like to invite Askari Naqvi to share his skills, his thoughts, his art, and of course his heart-rending voice that we hope to hear today as part of our program today. Askari Bhai, please.
Shukriya.
Bismillah.
Bahut shukriya, Walji sahab. And bahut hi khubsurti se, very, in a really briefly, or I would say in a great detail also, you've explained how the traditions of Source Khwani or Marcia Khwani have developed from the times of the Bijapur and the Golconda traditions to now, when the formation of Awadh happened. But right in the beginning, let me take you to a writer, a poet from Lucknow, Pandit Ratan Nath Dhar Sarshar. In his famous works, where he writes about Lucknow ka Muharramul Haram, aur usme kis tarah se wo Anis, Dabir, Begum Akhtar aur tamam un logon ka zikr karte hain jo Source Khwani karte hain aur Marcia Khwani karte hain. So let me read from Fasan-e-Azad for a bit to give you a glimpse of kya Lucknow tha, kya Awadh tha us zamane mein jab Nawabin yahan maujood the, Wajid Ali Shah yahan maujood. तो पेश खिदमत है। एक शख्स ने एक आह सर्द खींच कर कहा कि मियां अब वो लखनऊ कहां, अब वो लोग कहां, वो दिल कहाँ, लखनऊ का मुहर्रम कहाँ, भाई लखनऊ का मुहर्रम रंगीले पिया जाने आलम के वक्त में देखता तो अरीनी गोए और जो तूर भी गश कर जाता। बांकों की शमशीरें दो पैकर जब देखो म्यान से दो अंगुल बाहर, भाई किसी ने जरा सी तीखी चितवन की और उन्होंने खट से सिरोही का तुला हुआ हाथ छोड़ा, भंडारा खुल गया। एक एक घंटे में 20-20 खाना जंगियों की खबर आती थी। अब दुकानदार जूतियां छोड़ छोड़ कर सटक जाते थे, वो धम धक्का वो भीड़ भड़क्का होता कि वाह जी वाह, भाई इंतजाम करना कोई खाला जी का घर न था। अब तो कोई चूं भी नहीं करता, अदना अदना आदमी हजारों लुटाता था, अब तो कोई नजरे हुसैन तक नहीं निकालता। खैर अब ना अनीस हैं, न दबीर हैं, न मुनिस हैं, न मुशीर, न जमीर हैं, न दस्तगीर। अब देखिए ये किस तरह से क्या अंदाज है हिस्ट्री लिखने का, यानी वो सारे शायर जो उस वक्त जिन्होंने मरसियों को शक्ल दी। अब ना अनीस हैं, न दबीर, न मुनिस हैं, न मुशीर, न जमीर हैं, न दस्तगीर। फिर कहता है कि दबीर मबरूर की तुर्बत को खुदा अंबरी करे, खुदाए सुखन था सरे मिंबर। हाज़रीन एक रुबाई पढ़ी और सामईन चार मौजिए हैरत में गर्क हो गए। कहता है कि मद्दाहे अमीर इब्ने अमीर आता है, मद्दाहे अमीर इब्ने अमीर आता है, दरबार में शाहों के फकीर आता है, मशाके सुखन खल्क चली आती है, लो मरसिया पढ़ने को दबीर आता है। तो ये है दबीर का करतबा। उसके बाद अनीस, और अनीस मख़फ़ूर को खुदा बख्शे, बिस्मिल्लाह अजीम कलाम क्या जवारात के टुकड़े, कंदो नाबाद के रेजे नूर के से मरसिए, भाई जौहर शिनास है तो इन्हें मोतियों में तौल। फुसाहे खत्ते पाक ईरान तक कहते हैं। अब देखिए क्या क्या हो रहा है यहाँ। फुसाहे खत्ते पाक ईरान तक कहते हैं कि कुजा अनीस कुजा फिदौसी, कुजा अनीस कुजा फिदौसी, कुजा कमर बंदे मुर्रसा, कुजा शाले तूसी, बज़ में वो ढंग रज़ में वो रंग। शेर सुनिए कि मजमूने अनीस का न चरबा उतरा, मजमूने अनीस का न चरबा उतरा। बहुत लोगों ने कोशिश की, जोश मलियाबादी ने भी कोशिश की, मजमूने अनीस का न चरबा उतरा, उतरा भी तो बिगड़ कर नक्शा उतरा। और नक्काश ने 100 तरह की खिफत खींची, तस्वीर न खिंच सकी तो चेहरा उतरा। ये है अनीस, ये अंदाज है। अब इसी में आगे देखिए कि किस तरह से फिर आजाद जो इनका मेन कैरेक्टर है इस पूरे फसाने में, फसाने आजाद के नाम से, कि क्या होता है कि अब आजाद कहाँ पहुंचे। अब मियां आजाद और उनके दोस्त जब दर्द की तरह उठे तो फिरंगी महल में हैदर जान के यहां पहुंचे, एक सोज की ऐसी नाजुक आवाजी से सारंग की मांझ में अदा किया। सारंग राग का नाम का जिक्र आता है कि सोज को ऐसी नाजुक आवाजी से सारंग की मांझ में अदा किया कि सामईन लोटन कबूतर हुए जाते थे। भाई राग और रागनी तो उनकी लौंडियों के नाम है। ओहो हो वाह 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 वाह, क्या कहना कि सदाएं दरो दीवार से बुलंद होती थी। वल्लाह क्या प्यारा गला पाया है, और मियाँ आजाद की तो बाछे के लिए जाती थी, और साहब गर्दन तो घड़ी का खटका हो गई थी। अब यहां से जो फुदक के उठे तो मंजू मुश्तरी यानी बेगम अख्तर की अम्मा, मंजू मुश्तरी के कमरे पर पहुंचे। इनकी लफाजी, इनकी जादूगरी, इनकी खुशबयानी, इनके तर्ज सोसख्वानी की धूम है, अरबाब साफी मजाक का हुजूम है कि तिल रखने की जगह नहीं। इसको झिंझोटी एक राग और फिर आया, इसको झंझोटी की धुन में इस लुत्फ से पढ़ा कि सामईन सर धुनने लगे। तो ये है हुजूर लखनवे लखनऊ, जहां पर ये सब कुछ हो रहा था उस जमाने में जब
बात खूब थी,
वाजिद अली शाह मौजूद थे। यानी ये नॉस्टैल्जिया जो है रतननाथ कौन लिख रहा है? पंडित रतननाथ धर सरसार लिख रहे हैं फसाने आजाद के लिखने वाले। पूरा नॉस्टैल्जिया किस तरह से, यानी वो जो पीरियड था जिस वक्त 1857 के बाद वाजिद अली शाह को भेज दिया गया मटिया बुर्ज, और उसके बाद अगले 30-35 साल अब्दुल हरीम शरर और पंडित रतननाथ धर सरसार जैसों ने इस अंदाज से इतिहास को, हिस्ट्री को लिखा। दैट्स हाउ द हिस्ट्री वाज रिटन एंड इट वाज ऑल द होल थिंग वाज अबाउट नॉस्टैल्जिया, दैट व्हाट हैपेंड इन दैट इन दोस टाइम्स। दैट वाज अ वेरी वेरी क्रूशियल पीरियड ऑफ दोस 30 इयर्स। एंड उसके बाद तो फिर जोश और तमाम लोग जिन्होंने इनकलाबी शायरी की शुरुआत की, मजाज आए, फिर फैज आए, तमाम लोग आए, मतलब लखनऊ, फैज तो लखनऊ नहीं है खैर, लेकिन उसके अलावा बहुत लोग, यानी वो सिलसिला आता है यास विगाना चंगेजी तक जहाँ पर इनकलाबी शायरी हो रही है। लेकिन एक ट्रेडिशन ज़रूर है जो जो एक एक, एक, एक सिंक्रेटिक ट्रेडिशन है जो कंटिन्यू करता है, जिसमें यास विगाना चंगेजी कह रहे हैं कि कृष्ण का हूँ पुजारी, अली का बंदा हूँ, उस तरह की बातें लगातार चल रही हैं। हालांकि शायरी का जो पूरा पॉलिटिकल सिनेरियो है वो बदल जाता है 1857 के बाद, 30 साल तो नॉस्टैल्जिया है, उसके बाद चीजें, थिंग्स आर चेंजिंग नाउ। ऑल्दो वालजी साहब हैज एक्सप्लेन वेरी वेल अबाउट द होल, यू नो, द गोलकुंडा ट्रेडिशंस एंड द बीजापुर, व्हाट हैपेंड इन द साउथ इंडिया, लेट मी कम डाउन टू द ओरल ट्रेडिशन कि क्या हो रहा था सोस खानी और मरसिया खानी के हवाले से। सोस खानी जैसी कोई चीज एग्जिस्ट नहीं करती थी, देयर इज नथिंग कॉल्ड सोस खानी, एवरीथिंग वाज मर्सिया। एज इफ यू गो थ्रू द पेपर बाय सीएम नईम, चौधरी मोहम्मद नईम, अ पेपर व्हिच इज वेरी मच अवेलेबल ऑन द इंटरनेट, वेर ही एक्सप्लेन्स वेरी वेल दैट हाउ एवरीथिंग वाज मर्सिया, देयर वाज नो कॉन्सेप्ट ऑफ सोस खानी। सो हो क्या रहा था वहां, यानी कता, रुबाई, मुरब्बा, all these kind of different kind of forms were being presented, and aur usme jo bahut ek khas baat thi ki halanki fazail maujood hai, yani jo tareef ke ashar hain, jo tareef ki poems hain, wo maujood hain apni jagah, lekin jo khas tawajjo hai wo hai masayib ki taraf, aur isiliye marsiya constitute hota hai, marsiya ka lafz wahin se aata hai ki marsiya wo sab kuch hai jo kuch 1400 साल पहले गुजरी, उस ट्रेजिडी जो करबला में गुजरी, उसके ऊपर जो भी शायरी होगी वो चाहे किसी भी अंदाज में हो, किसी भी तरीके से लिखी जाए, एवरीथिंग इज गोइंग टू बी मर्सिया। तो ये सब कुछ 16th सेंचुरी में हो रहा है, जिस वक्त साउथ इंडिया में ये रियासतें मौजूद हैं। दैट इज वन थिंग। उसके बाद बात आती है अवध और लखनऊ तक, क्योंकि वहां के बाद फिर जब शिया रियासत, जो दूसरी शिया रियासत, बड़ी शिया रियासत पैदा होती है, जहां पर, उससे पहले एक चीज और मैं अर्ज करता चलूं, दैट सूफीज, हाउ द सूफीज हैव कंट्रीब्यूटेड टू दिस पर्टिकुलर ट्रेडिशन, जो चिश्तिया ट्रेडिशन है, हाउ द फर्स्ट टाइम द चिश्तिया ट्रेडिशन में एक बहुत मशहूर म्यूजिकोलॉजिस्ट हुए हिंदुस्तान में, अशोक रानाडे, जिन्होंने ये मेंशन किया कि हसन जो चिश्ती हैं, उन्होंने पहली दफ़ा ये किया कि जो ये कॉम्पोजिशंस थी उनको धुनों में बांधा, तरन्नुम में बांधा, और उनको प्रेजेंट करना शुरू किया। यानी ये कि तहतुल लफ्ज, यानी तहत में मरसिया पढ़ने का ट्रेडिशन बहुत ही कंटेम्प्रेरी है। एक्चुअली पहले के वक्त में क्या होता था कि सब कुछ तरन्नुम में था, ज्यादातर चीजें तरन्नुम में पेश की जाती थी, यानी रिसाइट की जाती थी या गा करके, रागों का और उसका तो बहुत बाद में धीरे धीरे करके वो सब कुछ भी आता चला गया, लेकिन जो फोक धुनें थी, जो आम धुनें थी, जो उस वक्त की धुनें थी, उनमें मरसिया खानी प्रेजेंट की जाती थी। इसके बाद जब लखनऊ बात पहुंची तो हुआ यूं कि अब जिनका जिक्र अभी आपने सुना फसाने आजाद में, जमीर हैं या दस्तगीर हैं या मीर हैं या दबीर हैं, ये जो बड़े शायर गुजरे जिन्होंने मरसिया खानी की, और उसमें से खास तौर से मीर अनीस और मीर दबीर, दीज टू पोइट्स हु हैव रियली रियली एक्सेल्ड इनटू द पोएट्री ऑफ मरसिया खानी एंड मेड इट इंटरनेशनल, یہاں تک ہے کہ غالب اور میر جیسے شاعروں کے ساتھ ان کا ساتھ ان کو بیٹھایا جاتا ہے کہ بھائی میر دبیر یہ اس مارکے کے شاعر ہیں, اس انداز کی شاعری کر رہے ہیں, اتنا وسیع کینوس ہے. تو میر دبیر جب لکھنؤ آتے ہیں تو مسدس شروع ہوتا ہے, دا ہول آئیڈیا میر دبیر سے پہلے ہی شروع ہو جاتا ہے, سودا کے زمانے سے, مرزا رفیع سودا کے زمانے سے مسدس کی شروعات ہو جاتی ہے. یعنی مسدس کیا, وے دیر آر فور, پہلے چار مصرے ہیں, اس کے بعد پھر بیت ہے, چار مصرے بیت, چار مصرے بیت, اور اس طرح سے ڈیڑھ ڈیڑھ سو دو دو سو بند کے مرثیے موجود ہیں. کچھ مرثیے ایسے ہیں جو تحت میں پڑھے جاتے ہیں اور کچھ مرثیے ایسے ہیں جن کو کہ ترنم سے بھی پڑھا جاتا ہے. اب اس کے بعد ہوا یوں کہ بھائی اب یہ کنفیوژن کریٹ ہوا کہ مرثیہ کیا ہے اور سوز کیا ہے. مطلب سوز خوانی کے تو کوئی تصور ہی نہیں تھا, سب کچھ مرثیہ تھا, لیکن اب جب اس طرح سے دس از ہاؤ ایوری تھنگ واز اسٹیبلشڈ دیٹ دس از ناؤ از مرثیہ خوانی, ویئر جو یہ مسدس ہے اس انداز میں مرثیہ کہا جائے گا, اس کے ایلیمنٹس ہیں, اس پہ میں آؤں گا بعد میں کہ کیا کیا ایلیمنٹس ہیں مرثیے کے. وہ ایسا نہیں ہے کہ صرف مسدس میں موجود ہیں بلکہ وہ ہر جگہ موجود ہیں. آئی مین ایوری ویئر یو سی دوز ایلیمنٹس, بین کا ہو یا رجس کا ہو یا آمد کا ہو, تمام ایلیمنٹس وہ مرثیے میں صرف موجود نہیں ہے. لیکن اب اگر اف میر انیس اینڈ میر دبیر اسٹیبلش مرثیہ ایز این آرٹ فارم ان اٹ سیلف, یعنی تحت میں پڑھنے کا طریقہ یہ ہے کہ اب مرثیہ جب کہا جائے گا یا مرثیہ پڑھا جائے گا تو اس انداز سے پڑھا جائے گا اور اس انداز سے کہا جائے گا, ان لوگوں نے یہ بات اسٹیبلش کر دی, تو اب سوز خوانی, تو پھر اب تو ترنم سے پڑھنے کا طریقہ ہے وہ کہاں گیا. تو انہوں نے کیا کیا کہ اس کنفیوژن کو کلیریفائی کرنے کے لیے کہا کہ صاحب سوز خوانی جو ہے وہ سب کچھ جو ہے اس میں جو کچھ بھی آپ پڑھیں, وٹ ایور یو ریسائٹ دیئر, ویدر اٹس ربائی, ویدر اٹس قصیدہ, ویدر اٹس سلام, ویدر اٹس مربع, جو بھی تمام جو فارمز ہیں پوئٹری کے, وہ سب کچھ سوز خوانی کے اندر آ جائیں گے جب وہ ترنم سے پڑھے جائیں گے. اور ایسا نہیں ہے کہ وہ سارے مرثیے جو تحت سے پڑھے جاتے ہیں وہ سب ترنم سے پڑھے جا سکتے ہیں, کچھ مرثیے ایسے ہیں جس کو انیس دبیر اور ان تمام لوگوں نے کہا باقاعدہ کہ جس کو سوز خوانی کے پرویو میں لایا جا سکے. سو دس از ہاؤ دا ہول ڈیولپمنٹ ہیپنڈ آف دا مرثیہ خوانی اینڈ سوز خوانی, اینڈ سوز خوانی بیکیم اے ڈفرنٹ جانر, اینڈ مرثیہ خوانی آلسو بیکیم اے ڈفرنٹ جانر ان سیلف, ویئر ان تحت جہاں پر صرف پڑھ کر کے اس کو ایک ڈرامیٹک طریقے سے بیان کر کے مرثیہ پڑھا جاتا رہا ہے اور پڑھا جاتا ہے. اس کے بعد اب میں آپ کو اگر آؤں اس بات پہ, ایک بہت اہم بات ہے کہ اگر ان دس سینیریو اف وی ناؤ اینالائز دس سینیریو واٹ از ہیپننگ دیٹ سوز خوانی مرثیہ خوانی بیکمز ٹو سیپریٹ جانرز, سو دیٹ مینس سوز خوانی آل دو نیمڈ ریسنٹلی بیکمز ایون ان اولڈ جانر, بیکاز ترنم از این اولڈر سلسلہ, پرانا سلسلہ ہے, ترنم میں پڑھنے کا طریقہ پرانا ہے, اس لیے سوز خوانی جو ہے وہ ایک پرانا سلسلہ بن جاتا ہے اور وہ زیادہ قدیم ہے بنسبت تحت میں مرثیہ پڑھنے کے. تو یہ بات ہے. اب میں آؤں گا اور میں کچھ ڈیمونسٹریشنز کروں گا آپ کے سامنے کہ کس طرح سے مرثیہ پڑھا جاتا ہے اور کس طرح سے ترنم میں پڑھا جاتا ہے, کس طرح سے تحت میں پڑھا جاتا ہے. لیکن اس سے پہلے میں آپ کو یہ بتاتا چلوں کہ کیا کیا ایلیمنٹس ہیں, واٹ آر ڈفرنٹ ایلیمنٹس آف مرثیہ. سب سے پہلے چہرہ, یعنی یہ کہ شاعر یا تو اپنی تعریف کر رہا ہے یا تو یہ ایک جنرل سینیریو, ایک چہرہ کریٹ کر رہا ہے, وہ بتا رہا ہے کہ صاحب ہونا کیا ہے, میں کون ہوں, یہ کون ہے, یہ کون ہے, ایک چہرہ بیان ہو رہا ہے اس وقت. اس کے بعد ماجرا, جنرل سٹوری لائن کیا ہوگی, ہیرو کو انٹروڈیوس کیسے کرنا ہے, یعنی جو امام ہے, جو واریر ہے, جو بیٹل فیلڈ میں پہنچے گا اس کو انٹروڈیوس کیسے کرنا ہے, وہاں پر ماجرے کی بات آتی ہے. بہت ہی خوبصورتی سے اشوک رانا ڈے نے ایکسپلین کیا ہے ان ساری باتوں کو, جو میوزیکولوجسٹ جن کا میں نے ذکر کیا کہ کس طرح سے جب سوز خوانی ہو رہی ہے اس وقت یہ ساری باتیں, یعنی سوز خوانی میں بھی یہ ساری باتیں موجود ہیں, یہ سارے ایلیمنٹس موجود ہیں, آل دو اس میں تحت نہیں ہے ترنم میں, آل دیز ایلیمنٹس آر دیر and they've been composed in 72 different ragas. That's what he says. There are 72 different ragas where these compositions of Sosthani have been composed. And aur yahan tak kehte hain, matlab ki Wajid Ali Shah ke zamane tak aate aate baat yahan tak pahunch gayi thi. Itna popular ho gayi cheezein ke jo us waqt ke mushaire, yani ghazal ke mushaire ya music concerts jo hote the, wo unme koi kam log jaate the. Is mauke par, azadari ke mauke par log zyada pahunchte the. Ashok Rannadi ne ye mention kiya hai ki azadari ke mauke par log zyada pahunchte the. Is qisam ki shayari, is qisam ki tarannum ko jo uruj mila us zamane mein, you know, and I'm very very sad that it has been disappeared because of certain reasons which I may not mention here, that what happened, and that Soz Khani aur Marsiya Khani ke tradition simatte chale gaye. Khair, तो मैं बात ये कर रहा था कि माजरा हुआ, फिर सरापा आया कि साहब आप सरापा बयान करेंगे कि ये कौन है, क्या है, किस तरह से उनकी जो क्वालिटीज़ हैं वो सब बयान की जाएंगी, जो वॉरियर जो मैदान में जा रहा है. फिर उसके बाद रुख्सत है कि अब रुख्सत हो रहे हैं, यानी खैमे से जो खैमे वहाँ लगे हैं और मैदान जंग में जाने की जो तैयारी है, वो रुख्सत जो है उसको बयान करने की बात है, वो रुख्सत मरसिए का एलिमेंट है. फिर आमद कि अब पहुँच गए मैदान जंग में, आप क्या है, पहुँचे. मैं वो सारी डेमोंस्ट्रेशंस आपको अभी पेश करूंगा कि कैसे ये, नॉट ऑफ ऑल द एलिमेंट्स बट ऑफ सम एलिमेंट्स आई विल डेफिनेटली प्रेजेंट दैट हाउ दीज पर्टिकुलर एलिमेंट्स आर बीइंग यूज्ड, नॉट इन क्रोनोलॉजी बट इवन अनीस या दबीर कोई भी क्रोनोलॉजी में इस्तेमाल नहीं करता है. कहीं एकदम से चेहरा है, फिर उसके बाद कहीं एकदम से बैन आ जाता है, कहीं एकदम से, वो क्रोनोलॉजी की बात नहीं है. लेकिन ये सारे एलिमेंट्स का होना, यू नो, is very very important. आमद है, रजस है, जंग है, शहादत है, और उसके बाद बहन है और दुआ है. ये सारी चीजें, these are all parts of elements of Marsiya. Now coming down to the demonstrations. चेहरा सबसे पहले मशहूर बंद है मीर अनीस का, कि क्या चेहरा कैसे लिखता है अनीस, पेशे खिदमत है. एक कतरे को जो दूं बस्त, एक कतरे को जो दूं बस्त तो कुलजुम कर दूं, बहरे मवाजे फसाहत का तला तुम कर दूं. एक कतरे को जो दूं बस्त तो कुलजुम कर दूं, बहरे मवाजे फसाहत का तला तुम कर दूं, माह को मेहर करूं, जर्रे को अंजुम कर दूं. माह को मेहर करूं, जर्रे को अंजुम कर दूं, और गुंग को माहिरे अंदाज तकल्लुम कर दूं. भाई दर्द सर होता है, बैत सुनिएगा कि दर्द सर होता है, बेरंग न फरियाद करें बुलबुलें, मुझसे गुलिस्तां का सबक याद करें. यह है चेहरा, इस तरह से अनीस चेहरा खींचता है मरसिए का. उसके बाद बात आती है, अब मैं सारे एलिमेंट्स आपके सामने नहीं पेश करूंगा, लेकिन अगला एलिमेंट क्या है कि अब है रुख्सत. इसमें मैं आपके सामने एक बंद अनीस की ही शायरी से पेश करता हूं, जो कि तरन्नुम में किस तरह से पेश किया जाता है. बहुत मशहूर कलाम है, लता मंगेशकर ने भी इसको रिसाइट किया है, उनके वीडियोस मौजूद हैं. हुसैन जब के चले बादे दोपहर, रुख्सत है किस तरह से हुसैन है वरन की तरफ रवाना होने की तैयारी में. पेश खिदमत है, मुलाहिज़ा फरमाइए.
हुसैन जब के चले बादे दो पहर रन को, हुसैन जब के चले बादे दो पहर रन को, कोई न था जो संभाले रकाब तौसन को हाय सकीना झाड़ रही थी अबा के दामन को हुसैन चुपके खड़े थे झुकाए गर्दन को नासुरा था कोई शाहे करबलाई को फकत बहन ने किया था सवार भाई को हुसैन जब के चले बाद दोपहर रन को हुसैन जब के चले तो ये है रुखसत। अब बात आती है अगली आमद। तो आमद अब्बास से बेहतर आमद किसकी आमद है? हजरत अब्बास जब मैदान जंग में पहुंचते हैं अनीस का मरसिया फिर से उसी से एक बंद हाजिर करता हूं। कि पहुंचा जो दश्त की में उड़ाते हुए फरस पहुंचे जो दश्त की में उड़ाते हुए फरस भाई घोड़े को हाथ उठा के ये आवाज दी के बस। पूरी आमद है ये कि भाई अब पहुंच रन में पहुंचे। और क्या शायरी है कि पूरी एक एक बात की हाथ का उठाने की भी तस्वीर खींचता है अनीस। एक एक चीज कैप्चर करता है कि क्या कुछ हो रहा है बैटल ऑफ करबला में उस बैटल फील्ड में उस वक्त हो क्या रहा है। कि पहुंचे जो दश्त की में उड़ाते हुए फरस भाई घोड़े को हाथ उठा के ये आवाज दी कि बस। देखी सफे जमी जो चपो रास पेश पस भाई नारा किया के नहर पे जाने की है हवस। रोकेगा जो वो मौत के पंजे में आएगा हट जाओ सब के शेर तराई में जाएगा। तो ये आमद है अब्बास की। तो आमद का ये हिस्सा। उसके बाद अगर आप आए रजज पे, अब रजज क्या हो रहा है, रजज में क्या हो रहा है अगला एलिमेंट जो है कि अब इस वक्त वॉरियर अपनी तारीफ कर रहा है अपनी एंसेस्ट्री की अपनी वॉरियर स्किल्स की तारीफ कर रहा है कि क्या स्किल्स उसके पास मौजूद हैं और कितना ताकतवर है वो। अब्बास फिर अब्बास इससे बेहतर अनीस अगले बंद में कहते हैं कि तुम क्या पहाड़ अगर बीच में हो तो टाल दें। भाई तुम क्या पहाड़ अगर बीच में हो तो टाल दें शेरों को हम तराई से बाहर निकाल दें। मोहलत ना एक दम दमे जंगो जदाल दें पानी तो क्या है आग में घोड़े को डाल दें। तुम क्या पहाड़ अगर बीच में हो तो टाल दें शेरों को हम तराई से बाहर निकाल दें मोहलत ना एक दम दमे जंगो जदाल दें और पानी तो क्या है आग में घोड़े को डाल दें। और मुंह देखते हैं जो हैं निगेबां घाट के और ले जाएं तेग से दरिया को काट के। तो ये है रजस। इस अंदाज में मीर अनीस रजस बयान करते हैं। शहादत अगला एलिमेंट। एक बंद है जिसमें हुसैन मैदान जंग में मौजूद हैं और घोड़े पे डगमगाने लगते हैं और किस तरह से उसको बांधता है शायर, पेश खिदमत है। हुसैन घोड़े पर जिस वक्त डगमगाने लगा, हुसैन घोड़े पर और जिस वक्त डगमगाने लगा, मैं हार थाम ली हाथों से, गश जो आने लगा, फरस के कानों में, हाय फरस के कानों में फिर ये आहिस्ता सुनाने लगा के राहवार मेरे अब मुझे ठिकाने लगा, बदन तमाम मेरा बरछियों से घायल है, रकाब पांव से छूटी संभलना मुश्किल है, हुसैन घोड़े पर जिस वक्त डगमगाने लगा। इसके बाद बैन, शहादत हुसैन हो गई, करबला खत्म हो गई। हुसैन की बहन जैनब, वो बहन जो करबला खत्म हो जाने के बाद पूरी दुनिया को ये बताती है कि करबला में क्या हुआ, वो बहन जैनब बैन करती है। कैसे बैन करती है? विराग भैरवी में बंधा हुआ एक सोज। नदिया कनारे ज़ैनब बीबी खड़ी ये पुकारे, ए भाई जान। नदिया कनारे ज़ैनब बीबी खड़ी ये पुकारे, भाई जान सोग मा तुम रे बाली सकीना, सोग मा तुम रे बाली सकीना, बिलकत है नादान। ओ हाय हुसैना के बन छायो, हाय हुसैन
کے بن چھایو ارے تمرے بنا سب گھر سنسان جائے بسو کون نگریا بیرن میں دیا کنارے زینب بی بی کھڑی پکارے بھائی جان. آخر میں ایک اور ایلیمنٹ مرثیے کا جو کرونالوجی میں تو آخری ہے, دعا, کہ دعا کرتا ہے بانو حسین کی بیوی, دعا کرتی ہے, کہتی ہیں یہ دعا تھی میر دبیر, یہ دعا تھی سدوسی سال رکھے حق زندہ, یہ دعا تھی سدوسی سال رکھے حق زندہ, وہ بھی دن آئے کہ دیکھوں تیرے سر پر صحرا, وہ بھی دن آئے کہ دیکھوں تیرے سر پر صحرا, اپنی بھاوج کو محافے سے اتارے کبرا, اپنی بھاوج کو محافے سے اتارے کبرا, اپنی بھاوج کو محافے سے اتارے کبرا, مشتعر کر کے بہو لایا ہے ابن زہرا, عزت و مشتعر کر کے بہو لایا ہے ابن زہرا, جاہو اقبال بڑھے خرم و دل شاد رہے, جاہو اقبال بڑھے خرم و دل شاد رہے, او میں رہوں یا نہ رہوں گھر میرا آباد رہے. تو یہ ہے ناظرین مرثیہ سوسفانی اور اس کا فن, کس طرح سے پوری آزاداری اس پورے زمانے میں, خاص طور سے اودھ میں, کس طرح سے بڑھی, کس طرح سے تمام طرح کے لوگ شامل ہوئے, جب یہ زبان اودھ کی زبان, بہت ہی, میں ایک آخری بات کہتا چلوں بس, کہ کس طرح سے صوفیوں نے ہندوستان میں یہ پوری جو تحریک ہے اس میں صوفیوں کا بہت بڑا عزاداری میں رول ہے. یعنی یہ کہ جب صوفی ہندوستان پہنچتے ہیں, یعنی بہت مشہور کلام ہے خواجہ اجمیری کا کہ شاہ ہست حسین بادشاہ ہست حسین دین ہست حسین دی پناہ ہست حسین, یہ لوگ لے کر کے آئے. اور کیونکہ یہ سب انکلوزیوٹی کی بات کر رہے تھے کہ سب آؤ, ہر کوئی آئے, ہر کوئی شامل ہو, کس طرح سے یہ آزاداری کا پورا ٹریڈیشن اس سے لنک ہو جاتا ہے. تمام طرح کے سوز, تمام طرح کے مرثیے, تمام طرح کے نوحے اودھی میں, ہندی میں, راگوں میں باندھے جانے لگتے ہیں. اس کے پیچھے اور کوئی وجہ نہیں ہے, اس کے پیچھے صرف یہی وجہ ہے کہ سب آؤ, سب جڑو. یہ آزاداری کا مطلب ہی یہی ہے کہ سب جڑیں, سب آئیں, سب سنیں کہ میسج کیا ہے کربلا کا, کہ کیا ہوا کربلا میں, جو ستیہ کی بات ہے, جو سچ کی بات ہے, the truth, the symbol of truth which Hussain was, to convey that message to each and every body, to every individual, and that is why the tradition was so widened, and that is what I have been trying to do for such a long time, to convey that message, to make it a message which is, which everyone can associate with, every tragedy can associate with, every personal tragedy, every national tragedy, every local tragedy, every international tragedy can be linked with the tragedy of Karbala, because there is such a vast literature which is available around the tragedy of Karbala, which is not there anywhere in any of other traditions of shahadat. There are many traditions, but the richness of this heritage, the richness of this literature is with the tragedy of Karbala, and that is why it becomes so much universal to each and every one. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah Askari bhai. I think that was a beautiful rendition and an inspiring presentation that you did, and indeed what you have delivered is something where our Aima alayhi wasalam have prayed for. In Risalatul Rijal of Sheikh Tursi, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam says, and I quote, that there is none who recites poetry about Imam Hussain alayhi salam and weeps and makes others weep by means of it, except that Allah makes paradise incumbent upon them and forgives his sins. So this is an obligation, it's a duty that we perform. And indeed, you know, the whole essence that you so eloquently showed us, that the essence and the spirit of this genre, you know, be it soz, be it marsiya, be it salam, in many other forms, you know, this actually goes back to the historical and the social setting. Even in like the Rajas, for example, is something that's pre-Islamic Arab in the Persian area, where the human sentiments and sufferings were actually expressed in the form of a marsiya. But as you rightly said, that when you look at humanity today and that international call for social justice, the way it has been rendered through the poetry, and if I may dare say, that the subcontinental culture has spawned so many verses that I was told by a scholar once that this is more than what has been put together in Arabic and Farsi combined. The number of verses that have been compiled in the Madha of Ahlul Bayt Ali Musa. This is our heritage. And, you know, in addition to rendering that poetic beauty of the language, the Urdu Marsiya in particular, you know, has become, like you've just demonstrated, a medium of religious, cultural, political, as well as intellectual expression.
Absolutely. Yep.
This is the depth, this is the beauty of it. I just wanted to share something very quickly for our younger audiences. You know, when you talked about a typical composition of a marsiya, which is characterized by six line verses, you know, in that classical fashion, and you broke down the various elements, I just wanted to translate that very quickly. For our younger audiences, that, you know, when you say chara, for example, it's a prelude, you know, to the poem's praise, the description, or the morning or the night before. And, you know, again, the entire structure is so very illustrative of the best form of communication. I am a student of media and communications. And when you even look at the modern methodology of communication, and you compare that with the depth and the insight of how the entire genre of Marcia was constructed, it's just simply amazing to see the thought process of those, you know, who were able to create this particular communication. For example, the Chera is that prelude, and the Sarapa, really you're talking about the description of the hero of the poem, in this case, Imam Hussein al-Islam. And then, you know, that Ruksa, the departure, going to the battlefield, you know, the entire thing. And before, in the past, Zadari was primarily constructed from the mimbar with a Marcia being recited. There was no wires, there was no lecture before it or after it. This was it. That was the majlis. And, you know, in terms of doing that, the Marcia did that job to say, after doing the Sarapa, it talks about the Ruksa, the departure, the Amad, the coming into the battlefield. Then you talk about the Rajas, as you rightly said. It's an affirmation, like, you know, you recited the Rajas of who else, but, you know, Mawla Ghazi Abbas, for example, in the way that he did. The, you know, Anis's and Dabir's expression of the Rajas is soul stirring. You know, so Rajas is an affirmation of the hero's, you know, dexterity. And then, of course, the actual battle, which is the Jung and the Shahadat. And then the final is the Bain and the Dua that we talk about. The Bain is really the lament. Before that comes the Shahadat and so on and so forth. I'm just looking very quickly if there are any comments that have come through before I conclude this particular session in the time that we have. But I just have seen an announcement here on the comments that we've been receiving on YouTube. Bear with me for a second. It's just one announcement that I saw. Yes, thank you, Nadeem Bhai. Professor Nadeem Rizvi writes within the YouTube comments, and I'd like us to recite the Surah Fatiha for this. Today, just a few hours ago, the great grandson of Wajid Ali Shah, Professor Kaukab Kadr, passed away in Calcutta. So we have this news, and we just pause a minute's silence and recite Surah Fatiha for Marhum Al Fatiha. May Allah, you know, grant him a place in Jannah, and we extend our condolences to the family for this bereavement. So truly, you know, as people of communication, you know, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about the Juz of Rahmaniyat, in Surah Ar-Rahman, talks about Allama al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan, etc. He also includes Allamahul Bayan, that he taught man the expression. And I believe that the poets, and particularly those poets, with a genuine and a sincere desire to be able to express, have truly responded and paid tribute to this quality of Rahmaniyat, of Allamahul Bayan, that they have been able to express these feelings in the way that they have. So thank you very much, Askari Bhai, for, you know, that elucidation and a beautiful rendering of this. And
oh, shukriya, Walji sahab. Matlab, I think how wonderfully you have explained each and everything and elaborated on it. It was really, really amazing to be with you on this platform. Thank you so very much.
Jazakallah. Thank you for your artistry. Thank you for your passion, and it is this that, you know, our youngsters need to imbibe. You know, when you were reciting, you know, every emotion that was felt was simply, you know, undescribable. You have to learn the language to be able to understand. You know, the passion, particularly in Urdu, a translation can never do justice. Anis or Dabir can never be translated in any other language. But the least we can do is perhaps with the translation to try and bring, you know, our youngsters, because I firmly believe, and that is why we have these programs. And I would like to thank the organizers, particularly Mustafa Abdi for his facilitation and all those, absolutely, you know, who have supported this program, all those, you know, who have sent us some wonderful comments and to continue programs of this. The main reason why we do this, particularly in addition to the Aza and the majlises that we have, that we need to understand some of the structure, the spirit, the essence of the majalis, and we need to understand, in essence, the entire corpus of what we call Azadari, you know, from the Tazia to the buildings, to the renditions, to the poetry, to the Matam, and to the social change that it brings. And it is this genre of poetry, of Marsha and Soz and Salam, for example, which have been perfected to a level in the Urdu language as it has not been perhaps any other language, that it can offer us truly an important medium, as we are doing now with the people who are watching and who will watch later, of expressing that social, religious, and intellectual issues of our time. We know that, you know, there were these Shahs of Inqilab who actually utilized this, like Josh Madhyabadi in times of against the British, or, you know, in Iran against the Shah, for example, that the Azar was actually used for the political issues of our time too. Sadly, today, you know, the followers of the Mazhab of Ahlul Bayt are being persecuted. I was shocked to see the big processions that have come out against, you know, the Shias in Pakistan. We pray for the safety of our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. But this is not what Sayyidul Shuhada, you know, sacrificed his life for. The idea was the unity of the Muslim Ummah. And using that very, very tool, there are some elements who are agitating this. And therefore, the social, religious, intellectual issues of our time need to be discussed in the context of Azadari. And it is very important to understand that the generations, and I'm addressing this to those parents and the grandparents who are watching this program, as to how important this is to encourage our youngsters to join, that it is important to ensure that the generations growing up in the West are familiarized with this art form, and through that they will be inspired, you know, towards the social justice reforms that we are talking about, amongst other things. I'm not saying that the poetry is the only medium, but it is a whole package that comes with the story of Karbala and the social justice movement. What it does, and it has proved that this is what happened into the past generations. So today, 1400 years on, that it's not only that we will continue to connect them, you know, to their faith, but also, very importantly, to the culture of their ancestors. I said this in the first program, the idea of that heritage, the connection of our heritage becomes so very important, because that is a format of identity building for the young, you know, in our community, in our society. And we hope, and I'm praying, and this is already happening to a degree, that it would inspire, and it has inspired some, to replicate. Because Azadari and the message of Imam Hussein is not only bound to one language. From Arabic, the Azadari went to Farsi and on to Urdu and other languages. Today, you can listen to the Matam and the Nawa in the Malagasy language, for example, in Africa. This has been constructed, it has been taken in by different cultures. So we hope that it will inspire even more people to replicate the process of developing the Marsha's in the English language. Just as the early Urdu Marsha Khan were inspired by the Persian elegy poetry, for example. And after all, you know, I will end on this note, that the message of Karbala is universal. It is not bound by any language or any specific era. And that truly is a meaning as to why we have gathered here and do these programs, so that we are able to imbibe that spirit, particularly in these poignant days of the months of Muharram and Safar. I will just check if you had any comments or questions that perhaps need to be presented here before we actually end the session. Askari Bhai, do you have any final words for our audience? Kuch aap karenge ji?
Nahi, mere khayal mein sari baatein to ho hi gayi, Hasan sahab. Bas yahi ki ek bahut khaas baat hai ki
ji,
hum aksar ye bhool jate hain ki jo heritage humko mila hai, whatever we have got from you know, it's so many layers, itni layering hai usme, aur jo kuch aaj hamare paas hai pata nahi wo pehle kaisa tha, usko sambhal ke rakhne ki bahut zarurat hai. And you know, I am not an older person, I come from a very contemporary jo generation hai usse main aata hu. लेकिन मैं हमेशा याद रखना चाहता हूँ कि हमें क्या मिला और क्या कुछ हमें संभाल के रखने की ज़रूरत है. नॉट टू फॉल इन टू द ट्रैप, यू नो, आई मीन ऑफकोर्स थिंग्स गो फर्दर, चीज़ें बदलती हैं, द चेंज इज देयर, बट स्टिल द हेरिटेज, द मिक्स ऑफ द हेरिटेज एंड द कंटेम्प्रेरी is what is needs to happen, rather than completely forgetting about the heritage, the past, and then just, you know, submerging yourself into the present. That is what I want to say in the end.
Jacques-Alain, there is a question that I wanted to ask you in the few minutes that we have.
Jee.
That what inspired you to begin this journey from a lawyer, and then now you have this natural gift, of course. But just share with us a little story as to what inspired.
Yeah, sure. So what happened in the, that was, I think, 6 years ago, when I was a practicing lawyer, practicing in Lucknow in the sessions in High Court of Lucknow. At that point, I was constantly discussing this fact with one of few cousins of mine about that we should present these art forms of Muharram to the stage, because, you know, it has a wider connotation to it. It has a wider appeal to it. Then why not introduce it to the wider audience? Why only to restrict it to the religious audience, the Shia audience, or to the majlises? So because I always found that it has a potential like any other art form, you know, may it be Qawwali, may it be all kind of things. As it has been there, I mean, you know, all kind of art forms come from a religious perspective, you know, all the whole culture is executed by the religion, and all these have come into practice, they've come onto the stage, a lot of people are being able to appreciate it, to be able to listen to it. Then why not Soz Khani, Marcia Khani, or Nawah Khani come into this in the scenario where in the scenario of a strictly art form, you know, into that. And that is how that was the idea. And then my uncle, Mr. Saeed Naqvi, who is a very well-known journalist, he, along with him, we all together, his daughter, me and all, we curated a little session called Expressions of Muharram in India International Center at that point, 6 years ago. It all started from there, you know, where he recited Marcia, I recited some Soz, other cousins from the family recited Soz, and, you know, Nawha and all that. So it was a complete presentation of the traditions and the art forms being presented during the month of Muharram. And that is how it all started. And then later on, I mean, you know, that particular session, that particular performance, that could not go on for long because it was, you know, a lot of people were involved. It was a bigger presentation. But then I decided that as I was also in a transformation for myself, that I wanted to do something which is to do with arts, which is, and I realized suddenly that was a moment also where I realized that, you know, how precious it is. I never realized. I mean, I always took it for granted, and that, you know, this is all what I have. I have been reciting it from my childhood. I've been trained to recite it from my childhood by my uncles and others. But suddenly I realized that, you know, how precious it is when I really decided that I want to pursue my career or whatever, you know, to do something in doing art form. So I do Dastan Goi, I do Soz Khani, Marcia Khani, and all that as a as a presentation to different kind of audiences through, I mean, you know, in India and abroad as well. So that's how the journey began, and now here I am. Yeah.
MashaAllah. Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us today, for your time.
And Mustafa Saab, bahut shukriya that, you know, yeah, trusting me and giving me this opportunity to come and present this for you.
Thank you very much.
Like Mr. Hasan Walji.
Thank you.
So honored to have to share the platform with you.
Thank you very much. So, inshallah, we will continue with this, the third session, next Saturday at 11:30 Eastern Time. And with the comments that we've received, that in addition to the Nawa, maybe there are other artifacts and things that we can share. So session three is going to be a glimpse into the iconic symbols of Azra in Lucknow. And they'll be followed by the great literary figures of Lucknow. And our guest presenter is going to be Mahmood Mehdi Abidi, who will be joining us next Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're going to look at the evolution of the Maktal literature in the subcontinent, as to how the Maktal literature that we fall back on came to the subcontinent and its evolution. And at the same time, we have a guest presenter, Dr. Sajjad Rizvi from Exeter University, who will talk about the impact of Persian language on Azadari in the subcontinent. So, and then we'll have two more programs following that weekend, which we'll be announcing. So with that said, we're almost to the time of the end of this program. We say, please, you know, stay safe, keep safe in this day and age of COVID. May Allah accept our efforts in terms of the Aza of Aba Abdullah, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and that we are able to share this message with the rest of the world, because with all the inequities and the injustices that we face as a humanity, the call of Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Halmin Nasin and Surna on the day of Karbala is something, on that day of Ashura is something that we need to answer to, and this would be our call to stand up for justice and for truth. With that said, we say, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.